This morning, I'm going to teach from a passage in the book of John. This passage is a familiar passage to some of you. It is a prayer. Jesus is praying to the Father. Now, how many of you think that Jesus' prayers get answered? Has anybody got any issue with that one? You think Jesus is asking for the right stuff? Do you think Jesus' motives are right? Do you think that the Father hears Jesus? Well, of course, if you fast forward throughout history, you see that the prayer of Jesus Christ is answered. And it's answered in the New Covenant. But I think it'll be really interesting for us today to journey back and look at that prayer. Now, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit for the last couple of weeks, and I want you to see something. We're still looking at the Holy Spirit. You may not see it at first, but our oneness with Jesus Christ, we are one with Him in spirit, and it is because of His Spirit that we are one with Him. And so this is exactly what Jesus is praying. You, God's gift to Jesus? Oh man, for some people, the title alone is blasphemy. I'm God's gift to Jesus. You got it all wrong, buddy. Jesus is God's gift to us. Well, that's true too. Of course it is. And we Christians, on some level, we see that. But what we're going to see today is that Jesus is thankful for you, that Jesus is grateful for you, and that you are God's gift to Jesus. Now, if you haven't thought about this before, if you think that it could possibly be wrong, all I'm asking is, hang on. Look at the words of Jesus. You know, we don't feel worthy. That's the bottom line. We feel like this whole notion would have to be blasphemy, because why would God want me? I'm so dirty and I'm so ugly and I disappoint Him all the time. He's so disappointed in me. How could I be a gift? Secondly, we dismiss it because we're so used to hearing self-help messages out there that we think, oh no, this is just another self-help feel-good message, right? Well, the enemy's counterfeit is out there. The enemy's counterfeit of you say good things about yourself. What was it? Stuart Smalley? Is that who it is? No. Somebody Smalley. Yeah, he's staring into the mirror in Saturday Night Live, you know, and he's looking at himself and he's saying, what is it? People like me. I mean, I'm good. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people love me. Or something like that, right? He's talking himself up here. Self-help. 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 And that's out there. But what's the foundation, Mr. Smalley? Right? Where do you get your motivation from? Who says that's really true? Is there a source outside of you that makes these claims true? And so the problem with self-help is there's no reference point. There's no reference point outside of you, and you're taught to just drum up good feelings about yourself with no real source except the expert in self-help over there who told you to do it. And so what's different about what Jesus is saying about us is that He is a source outside of us, and He's looking upon us and He's giving us intrinsic value. He's saying, you, in yourself, because of what I've done for you and because of what I've done to you, I have made you lovable. I've made you likable, and you are a gift to me. God's gift to Jesus. You? Could it be? Well, we're going to look at John 17 this morning. Now, the first question is, you know, with John 17, a lot of people have said, well, Jesus is just talking to the disciples, not anybody else. He's just talking to the crowd around Him 2,000 years ago. Well, what we're going to see right off the bat is that's not true, that this means you. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. So how did you come to believe? How do you continue to believe? Through whose word? The words written by the disciples who later became apostles, who wrote the New Testament, who share about the message of the gospel. And so what Jesus is saying is, I'm not asking this for 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 people sitting around me here. I'm asking also for those who believe through them. And that means us, right here, sitting here today. Now again, I want to ask you, do Jesus' prayers come true? Does Jesus get what he asks for? And I think we all know the answer. The reason I ask this is because this is not about you and your commitment to Jesus. It's not about you and your dedication to God. All of what we're going to see today hinges on Jesus and whether he gets his prayer answered. It's not about you. First, you are in the Trinity. What? I heard one time, 12 times, 20 times, that I'm in Christ. And I heard one time, 12 times, that I'm in the Spirit. But I'm in the Trinity? What? Well, let's make sure that's right. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. Here it comes, that they also may be in us. Who's he praying to? The Father. So you're in the Spirit, right? You're in Christ, right? But now it says you're in the Father too? The whole Trinity is happy to have us. The whole Trinity is happy to have us. That they may all be one. Let's stop. Let's slow down. I want you to see something today. I want you to see that everything that Jesus is praying here is that we have what Jesus has. That's what it's about. It's about placing us in a place of honor and glory, in a position where we get to enjoy the same relationship that Jesus has with the Father. That's what he's saying. So again, this is not about you making this happen. It's not about you making this possible. It's about Jesus making this possible through his prayer, which is answered in the new covenant, which he accomplishes through the death, burial, and resurrection. The Father raises him from the dead. And so we begin with this, that they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Now you've read, you've spent your lives reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you read verse after verse, and you have no doubt that Jesus is close to the Father. I mean, wow, he's got it going on. Right? No doubt about that. So we watch story after story of dependency and trust and intimacy and doing things that he sees the Father doing and closeness. And it's remarkable. It's undeniable. Now what he's saying is, I give that to you. All that you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about me and the Father being one, him and me, I and you, I give that to you. You've got it. And then immediately we say, well, I'm not sure I got it because last week, you know, I used the Lord's name in vain, and 3 weeks ago I stubbed my toe and said another bad word. And then, you know, we assess and we analyze and we wonder if it could possibly be true. Remember, it's not about your toe. It's about Jesus Christ and his prayer. It's not about you. It's about him. And so he says here, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. There's only one thing that attracts the world. The only thing that's going to attract the world is when you and I talk about an intimate relationship. That's how the world knows about Jesus, because there were people, crazy people, thousands of years ago, who were saying things like, I've got Christ in me, and I'm in Christ, and I'm already in heaven, seated at his right hand. That's crazy talk. That gets people's attention because you're either nuts or you're experiencing something real. But this whole thing of, you know, come forward and rededicate five things in your life and here's seven steps and three ways and this, the world doesn't care about that. They've got that. They've got the world's foremost experts in behavior reform out there. What they care about is seeing if this is real. And, you know, our one and only job, really, as Christians, it says walk by the Spirit. What is that? Walk by this. See this. Absorb this. Soak this in. Know the love of God. We can talk all day long about trying to love other people. Love other people. Love other people. But loving other people, walking in love and speaking in love, these don't happen by trying to love. They happen by realizing how incredibly loved we are. Let me say that again. They happen by realizing how incredibly loved we are. And your immediate thought might be, but that's selfish. See, if you thought that, we've got resistance to receiving. And so what we're saying to God is, I can go out and do apart from receiving. And what Jesus is modeling is, no, you're one with Him. Your job is to receive. And so His love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. What do you do with that? Recognize it, think on it, set your mind on it, realize it, because otherwise you're going to go out and try to do, and it's going to take you about 5 minutes to realize, man, in and of my own resources here, me trying to crank out nicey-nicey love for folks, I'm feeling empty. Well, what does He say? They may all be one, even as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You. The trouble with us is we think in gray areas. That's what we do with the gospel. We think, well, I'm 80% close. I'm 90% close. Oh, look at her. She's 98% close because, man, she is on fire. Right? We have all these terms. There's the strong Christian, and there's the weak Christian. Then there's the prayer warrior Christian, and then the regular unwarrior Christian. And then, you know, there's the one on fire and the one that's just got maybe a few sparks going. I don't know. And then there's the one that petered out 4 years ago. You know, there's just kind of smoke left over. You see what we're doing? We're thinking in gray areas. And then as soon as we get this sliding scale, the scale going, what do? As humans, where am I on the scale? I know you do this. We all do this. Because we live with us. We're the ones that we care most about. Where am I on the scale? And what He's saying is, we're all one with Him. You're trying to be a 10, but you're a 1. You're one with Him. That's how close you are. And so this isn't about trying to be, trying to get. It's about seeing that Jesus prayed this for you. And that Jesus' prayer came true. Day one, moment one of being a Christian, we're one with Him. He's in us and we're in Him. Next, you have been given glory. No. All glory to God. Get the glory away. Right? Blasphemy. Well, let's see. The glory which You have given Me, I have given to them. You mean God's not up there wanting us to go out to the football game and score 27 touchdowns and then say, but wait a minute, I give all glory to God. You know, God doesn't need 27 touchdowns, spiritually or physically. God's got all the glory He needs. He'll never run out of glory. And here's the crazy part, is He says, I'll share My glory with you. The glory which the Father gave to Jesus, He has given to us. Now, it doesn't mean self-worship. We worship Jesus Christ. We worship the Father. But let me ask you, does it mean self-condemnation? I mean, you're accusing yourself. You're living in the pits of despair. You're wallowing in condemnation. And Jesus is not just saying, I free you from condemnation. No, we can memorize, there's therefore now no condemnation, no condemnation, no condemnation. Well, good, that makes me neutral, free of condemnation. It's more than neutral. The glory which the Father has given to me, I have given to them. It's more than neutral. It's righteous. We've become the righteousness of God. I went to a church the other day, a few weeks ago. They had a confession of righteousness. They did the Lord's Supper, and then they had a statement that they had written using a lot of scripture, and they all stood up and they read it whenever they do the Lord's Supper, a confession of righteousness. You know what some people would say about that? But that's where the work of Jesus Christ takes us. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's not about being neutral or condemnation free. It's about even going beyond that and seeing that we've been given glory. Respect, honor, identity, worth, value. That they may be one, just as we are one. You are one with Jesus, just like He is one with the Father. I can't water this down. I can't change Jesus' words. I can't pretend that it's not true. I can sit up here and tell you I don't feel this all the time. I don't act like this or feel this all the time. But guess what? He didn't survey me before He did this. Now, Drew, if I do this, are you sure you're going to feel this all the time? Well, no, Lord, there's no way I'm going to feel. Well, Drew, if I do this, are you sure that you're going to act like this is true? Well, no, Lord, my mind's being renewed. And I mean, to be honest with you, I'll never act it out perfectly. Never. Not even close. Well, I guess I'm going to do it anyway. He didn't survey us. He just did it. While we were yet sinners, He did it. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Do you see the parallel again? But now it's about love. How much does God love you? If you go back to the scale, you're missing it. You're as loved as Jesus Christ is loved. This is the gospel. It's not self-help. It's not a feel-good message. It just so happens that the truth sets you free. God has the market cornered on freedom. And so we don't believe this because it makes us feel awesome. We believe it because God said it is so. We believe it because it's truth, and anything that goes against it is error. Believe the truth because it's the truth, not because it just makes you feel good. Well, loved them even as you have loved me. And so, you don't experience that, you don't feel that, you don't think on that. And what I'm saying is, man, the whole Christian life is about thinking on this. I want to go down on record as saying the whole Christian life is about thinking on the love of God and setting your mind on the love of God. In fact, that's how Paul defines being filled with the Spirit. We looked at that. Being filled with the Spirit is knowing the love of Christ. I have never done a single good thing apart from setting my mind on the love of Jesus Christ, His life in me. You have never done a single thing of value apart from looking on the love of the Father, looking on the life of Jesus Christ within you. That's how radical we have to get with this and see it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from absorbing this, you can do nothing. I remember being 21 years old, laying in my bed about 11 o'clock at night, and just saying, God, I've tried everything. And I just heard this guy talking about being a receiver. And I just heard this guy talking about praying that I would know the love of God. And so I have never prayed this in my life, Father, but I pray that you would reveal your love to me so that I could stop trying to get your love and keep your love and maintain your love and earn your love and measuring your love for me on some scale, right? I pray that you would show me your love. The first time I prayed that, you know, I felt desperate, but I kind of also in the back of my mind, I felt like, man, is this selfish? Is this, am I allowed to pray this? Because I'd been told my whole life, you're supposed to pray for like other people. You're supposed to pray for the gospel and other people. And you're praying that you would see something yourself might be, well, selfish. But that's exactly what Paul prays. He prays that we would see the love of God. Apart from this, we can do nothing. You may say, well, I know the identity message. Well, apart from this, we can do nothing. I know the grace message. Yeah, but we can still walk after the flesh any old time. And apart from this, we can do nothing. Yeah, but I already know. I know all about freedom from the law. And yeah, but it's about moment by moment dependency on Christ. It's not about a bunch of doctrinal facts over here that you learned 2 years ago. The Christ within us is alive. He is love. And we need to be receivers of His love, or else we're just acting out of fear or obligation or guilt or duty. And none of these are what God has for us. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You are loved as Jesus is loved. Father, I desire that they also, here it is, here it is. Remember the title of the sermon? You're God's gift to Jesus? How could it be? Look at the way He's talking about you. Those whom you have given me, I desire that they be with me where I am. What does that mean? Raised and seated. Raised and seated. Be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. You're located with Jesus. You're in Lubbock, Texas, or you're, I don't know where you are, you're out there on the World Wide Web. There's a location physically, right? But we are all located with Jesus at God's right hand. Everyone is somewhere spiritually. If you dismiss this as la-la land or positional truth, man, you're missing it. There's an invisible part of you called your spirit. It's somewhere. If it's not in Adam, it's in Christ, already seated in heaven. A couple more verses here. Jesus has two more things to say. Righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. The love of God is in you, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known. Here it comes. So that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Now, it's one thing to think God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. This is more than that. God's love is in me. He's poured out His love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So if you've heard my sermon so far and you're saying, but where's the practical application? Right? I mean, that's what we tend to think. Where's the practical application? The practical application is all over this message. The practical application is all over this prayer. The practical application is invisible because it's a motive, because it's a person, a spirit who has a heart and a mind and thoughts and feelings. And His name is Jesus, and He lives in you, and He is the practical application. And so, if you want three steps, it's oneness with Jesus. If you want seven ways, it's oneness with Christ. And so he says that we have this love in us, and also we have Christ in us. Jesus Christ is in you. Jesus' prayer for you, did it come true? If it did, then it's about the authority of Jesus, the rights that Jesus had to speak with his Father, the heart of the Father to answer it. It was never about you to start with. But boy, don't you and I benefit. What do we see today? You are in the Trinity. You have been given glory. You're loved as Jesus is loved. You're one with Jesus. You're located with Jesus. The love of God is in you, and Jesus Christ is in you. This is Jesus' prayer, and it came true. And you are a gift from the Father to Jesus. Will you say this about yourself? Will you? Will you have the guts to? That's what it's going to take. You're going to need some guts to not assess your life and your track record. You're going to need some, just to make a choice with the act of your will and say, I'm not going to call God a liar on this one. I know it's about me. I know it affects me personally, but I am not going to call God a liar on this one. So out of respect for God, out of respect for His Word, out of respect for Jesus, out of respect for the work of Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and call myself the righteousness of God. Are you going to do that? Or are you going to go back to the scale and identify yourself at a 3 or a 5 or a 7? The choice is yours. None of us can make it for you. Will you believe in the effects of the gospel, or will you merely nod your head at the gospel itself? These are the effects of the gospel. Oneness with Jesus Christ. Absolute intimacy and closeness. The answer to Jesus' prayer. Let's thank Him. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the work of Jesus Christ. We thank You for His prayer, for His heart, that He looked up to heaven from earth and prayed this, knowing that it would come true. And then You spend page after page after page telling us it came true, it came true, it came true, and it's now. Father, we thank You that we live in the midst of the answered prayer. We thank You for the authority of Jesus, His closeness to You, Your ability to make this happen, and that You chose to answer it and do it. We confess that we are as righteous as Jesus Christ. We confess that we are as loved as Jesus Christ. We confess that we are one with You, just as Jesus Christ is. In His name we pray. Amen. Recently got back from a trip to Pennsylvania, and on the phone I was talking to Gavin, my son, and he says, Did you get me a surprise? And then I walked in the door and I said hi to him, and the first thing he said is, "What's that, your suitcase?" And he says, What could be in there? The boy, he wanted his surprise. He wanted the gift from Dad. Now, could you be that gift? Because that's what Jesus is saying. That the Son was given a gift by the Father. And you are that gift. Will you call yourself a gift to Jesus? Will you continue to wallow in a false identity? Or will you see the value that has been given to you by the Father? when you see the joy that is in the heart of the Son, you are a gift from God to Jesus. Have a great day.